So if you'd open your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you need a Bible, Chris, can you grab a couple? If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and the kind-hearted Chris will go deliver one to you. Everybody should have a Bible open. If you don't own a Bible, let us know. We'll give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you can find that, it's a little after Judges, Ruth. It's right before 2 Samuel. That's very helpful. Very helpful. Now you found it, Brett. Good, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's read through. We're going to go through verses 1 to 21. Normally, I put each verse up on the screen. I go through it. We're going to do 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 21, and this the sermon is God Still Speaks Today, and so we're going to go through that, and we're doing it a little topically, so I'm just going to read all the verses. I don't have each verse on the screen like I normally do, because this is an older teaching, but I do have some new slides for you. All right, so 1 Samuel chapter 3. All right, starting in verse 1 to the end of the chapter. Here we go. It says, the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Kind of like now. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes became, so hard for me just not to make comment. Darren, just read the text. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down. Verse 6 says, again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as he did other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord says in verse 7, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I had spoken against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them or discipline them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.' Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli came to him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' 'What was it he said to you?' Eli asked. 'Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he has told you.' So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, 'He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes.' The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And in Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized Samuel and attested as a prophet, that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." So this is where we're at. And so for those of you who don't know, the Lord speaks to his people today. And we're living in a time where people have no problem with talking to God, but they have a problem with thinking that God does not speak to them. And God does speak to us. Our God is a relational God. He desires to walk with us. He desires to talk with us. He desires to communicate with us. He desires to have a loving, ongoing relationship with us. And he desires that because he loves us. And so he wants all of us to learn to hear his voice. And I say that because to learn to hear his voice and to learn to obey his commands. Because I don't want anybody here, well, I don't hear his voice. Like, I don't feel those prompts. I don't get that yet. Well, you know what? Then I want you to ask. I want you to knock. I want you to seek. I want you to be open to the Lord leading in that way. Because he does still speak. And I don't want you to limit the Lord's work in your life. And I don't want you to limit the Lord's work through your life. So remember, we're all learning and growing, right? And for some of you, because I did this teaching, I don't know, some years back, maybe this is a good recap for you. But it reminds me of, there's a couple songs that, one song we sing, I don't know if you remember it, but I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Do you remember that song? We sing it once in a while. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there. None others ever known. It's a beautiful song, but it speaks, this old hymn speaks about God speaking to us and talking to us. Or there's a newer song, I say newer to me, by Sherry Youngward, and it says, all the day long she sings sweetly. She says, it's hard to say this without singing a little bit. She says he speaks to her mind. She's only rich with affliction, yet a bitter word you won't find. She often walks alone, but never is she lonely. You can offer her anything, but affections are all for him only. So this always talks about God is always speaking to our hearts and to our minds, and we have to tune into that station. We have to learn to differentiate. At the Experiencing God Bible study, I said there are three voices, but there's really four, actually, now that I was thinking more about it. There's the world that's speaking to us, right, and the culture. There's our flesh, right, ourself, our flesh. There's the devil, right, and his satanic hordes whispering to us, and then there's the Lord. And we have to learn to differentiate that voice because it's very, very important. But here's one thing I do know. I want you to listen. This is very important because if you check out now, you're going to miss everything. Here's what God's word says, so listen closely, okay? Yes, that's what he specifically had me do, this scripture verse for you, okay? This is this is what God's word says. This is in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. He's talking about his sheep, those who are saved, okay? This is what he says. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. It goes on to say, when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them. All the sheep follow him, and they follow him because they know his voice. So it's important for us to learn to recognize the voice of the shepherd and to differentiate that from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Does that make sense? Okay, we need to learn. But I thought, what a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? And that's what God wants us to be, to run to hear his voice. And it goes on to say in John chapter 10, 27, it's another cute one. He says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, sometimes we're going to make mistakes when we're trying to listen to the Lord. And if you've ever had zealous Christians, oh, I'm hearing the Lord say this, say that. It's usually what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. So you have to kind of realize that people are learning and growing at different paces. But God does speak to us, and we need to learn to recognize that voice, and we need to learn to obey that voice. Does that make sense? It's important. Now, God has given us the primary. There's different ways that God speaks to us, and we're going to go over a bunch, but the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. God speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, right? Through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, our hearts, and the church. And he does that to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. It's not all about us. It's all about him and what he wants to do. Now, the primary way that he reveals himself is in his word, in his written revelation. And so a lot of times, well, I feel like God's telling me to say this, and I feel like God wants me to say that. And I just think, Pastor, God wants me to do this. And you know what? Here's one thing that I can tell you. God will never, ever, ever contradict his word. Amen. So the Bible says that the, I'll get to that in a second, but he has given us his precious promises. It's God's word is infused by the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Holy Spirit is what reveals this. You could read this book here, this book, you could read it like a dictionary and get nothing out of it. However, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, it's a supernatural book revealed to you by a supernatural God. You can get facts and figures and miss the whole point of it. Or you can ask every time we get here, every time you go to a Bible study, every time you come Sunday morning, I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord. Say, will you speak to me personally? Will you use whoever, who's ever up here? If it's Pastor Gary, if it's Pastor Darren, whoever is up here, you know, to speak to me. If it's Dana, will you speak to me personally, Lord? I want to listen and hear what your spirit has to say. But that primary way is through his word. It says in 2 Peter, actually, chapter 1, verse 4. It says that he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, his word, his precious word to us, right? We may participate in the divine nature, escaping the corruption of the world caused by our own evil desires. If you'll notice that, hopefully you can see the pages on that Bible, right? Coming alive there, right? And you see him grabbing on, hanging on to him, right? For dear life as he's falling. That's what God does. That's what the word does, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important every single time to ask the Lord to speak to you. And so all the scripture, everything that's in this book from cover to cover, beginning to end, is all God-inspired. The scripture talks about it being God-breathed, right? It's like a God's spoken word, just like, right? It says all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting even, training in righteousness. There's folks that say, God just wants to encourage me all the time. And no, sometimes he wants to teach you, and that's difficult. Sometimes he'll correct you. That's not fun. Sometimes he'll rebuke you. But he does that because he loves you, not because you're a jerk and he's mad at you. He loves you. Capiche? And he trains us in righteousness so that we'll burn bright for him, right? So that we'll be on fire for him. And he does that, it goes on to say, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I've got a scripture picture here. Usually, the world thinks of brainwashing, and I get it, would be bad, right? As when I think of a brainwash, I think some cult or something like that, right? But I thought of the scripture picture, and to me, it's a good picture. The world, our own fleshly nature, and the devil is washing over us. We've got our own wicked thoughts. We got stinking thinking. We got baggage that causes us to think a certain way, right? You got the enemy whispering in your ear to do something the wrong way. You've got the whole world constantly throwing stuff at you. Media, phone, you know, TV, radio, college, school, work, the opposite. Do things against what's good and godly, throwing it at you in your mind. And so, you know what? We need to scrub that thing. We need to clean out our mind, wash ourselves with the water of the word, so to speak. The Bible tells us that we're not to conform to the pattern of this world. That means, the word in Greek means to fit into the mold, like a jello mold. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to meditate on God's word day and night. Because believe it or not, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to get lost. It's so easy to go down the wrong path. And then it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Listen, if you're not transforming your mind, you can't hardly see because this little flowery thing here. I'm going to move that. But it does say, then you'll be able to test and approve. Everybody wants to be able to test and approve God's will without putting the word in their mind and hearts. And you coming here just one day a week on Sunday is not enough. You know what I'm saying? We need to be renewing it every day. All right? So the first way really is the primary way is through the word. But also there's prayer. A lot of people take prayer and it's just, let me give God my laundry list. This is what I want. I'd like a pony. I want this to go right for me. I want, make it easy for me, right? The main thing in prayer is not, listen, God wants you to present what you need because he cares about you. But more than that, he wants the relationship. It's more important even than the talking is the listening, is to learn to tune your voice in for the response. Or from the prompts when God's answers. Are you looking for a response? Believe it, you should be. Does that make sense, everybody? I love Andrew Murray, I want to say he's a rock star on prayer, but he wrote a wonderful book on prayer. He said, prayer is not a monologue, but a dialogue. He says, God's voice is the most essential part. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. Listen, hearing the voice of the Lord, praying something is wonderful, but hearing and looking and seeing the responses, wow, that gets you jazzed up. And then you want more of that. So God speaks through his word. God speaks through prayer. And God, hopefully I can say this right, God is God. You know, he can speak to us however he chooses to. Do you know what I'm saying? Never contrary to his word. But here's a few other ways that I've noticed in the New Testament that I've seen God speak, and I try to back it up with scripture. Okay, so sometimes God can speak through angels, right? He did that in Luke chapter 2, verses 8, I have 8 through 11. It says when Jesus was being born, it says that he went and he introduced to the shepherds, right? He gave the good news. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So sometimes God can speak to an angel. Again, it'll never be contrary to his word. And Galatians says, hey, if an angel comes and speaks anything contrary to what you've been taught or what's in the word, let him be accursed. But sometimes God could speak through an angel if he wanted to. He can also speak directly to our hearts. The Holy Spirit can speak directly. Acts 8:29, there was a time when Philip, who was an evangelist, God said, hey, I want you to go down that road. And actually, an angel told him to go down that road. So, okay, he went down the road for a while, and he's standing there. And then all of a sudden, he's there, and he sees this little entourage, this Ethiopian eunuch, a guy in charge. And the Holy Spirit just told him, spoke right to his heart and says, hey, Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. And if you know the story in Acts, what ended up happening, he looked and he was by him and he realized he was reading the book of Isaiah. And he's like, do you understand what you're reading? He's like, no, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me? Huh, I'll explain it to you. And then if you remember the story, this guy got saved and he got baptized right there and then. Isn't that cool? Okay, so It's a very, very cool thing. So he can speak to our hearts. He can also speak through circumstances. You know, there's a time when Paul was traveling throughout Phrygia and Galatia, And it says he was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. What the circumstances were that kept him, I don't know. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do that, even when they would try to enter Bithynia. And so God can speak through circumstances as well. God can speak through our church body, and it's he can speak prophetically or through a supernatural word of knowledge. I don't have a scripture picture for that because I didn't have time to put it together. But you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14. And so God can speak out loud if he wants. Really? Mm-hmm. Pastor, aren't you getting a little, you know what? I don't want to freak anybody out. But, you know, I'm not saying this, maybe this could happen all the time, but I've heard it, his voice out loud once, maybe twice in my life. And so it's, you know, it was actually in a gentle whisper, and he just said, go. It was beautiful. I was really praying fervently, and it was just a gentle whisper. But if you remember when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So listen, we don't need to limit God in how he can speak to us, because he can speak to us in dreams if he wants. It says, this is in Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. That's why I see visions, Pastor Gary.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
Also, visions. He could speak to us. You know, I've only had a couple of these, but through my life, but Acts 18, 9 to 10, it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. And he said, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack you in this city and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So one of the things is there's so many things to distract us, and stuff that our flesh loves. I hate to say this. I wasn't on my phone. I didn't even own a cell phone until much later in life. I needed it for ministry. To minister, I was in charge of a school. We had I grew the school to like 100 some odd families, and I was administrator of the school, and so I had to have it, and I've had it since then. But that phone, which I do love, I'll tell you, man, I have a love-hate relationship with that phone. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cool, fun things that give me a little stim. Yeah, there's a little game. Yeah, there's a text. Yeah, there's a disco. Yeah, there's a yeah, there's a yeah, there. But sometimes I could just take that phone and throw it through the dang window. It can be a blessing. Just be honest. I can look at Bible verses, but look at, I found a little cartoon for that John 10:27 verse I gave you earlier. I thought it was funny. I wonder why we don't hear from the shepherd anymore. Isn't that true? But it's important that we listen for God's voice, because we can harden our hearts. In Matthew 13, 14 to 15, that's what they were doing back in Jesus' day. And it said, and then the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For the people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I'd heal them. So here are just 8 ways, and I had to even shorten this teaching a lot to make it fit so that we have time for communion. So I'm doing my absolute best to try to do this. But here are 7 or 8 ways to help you hear from the Lord. That'll hopefully be helpful, okay? Here's the first one, okay? The first thing that we can learn from this passage is to be childlike in your faith. Here's what I mean by that, and I want to differentiate. I don't want you to be childish in your faith. Being childish in your faith, you could be lazy. I'm not going to bother with it. Why do I read the word? Why do I see? I know, blah, blah, blah. He tell me that on Sunday. Why do I need to take a Bible study? I don't want to go through the workbook. I don't have time for that workbook. What workbook? Right? It's easy. You could be here right now and you're sitting here talking or on your phone looking up stuff. I don't know. Instead of paying attention to what God's trying to communicate to you. I can tell you, he did tell me to teach this. And even though I may, unfortunately, and my mind is half elsewhere, I'm positive he told me to do this. And so I'm trusting that there's going to be people out here, that somebody here is going to be listening. And that goes right along with our Experience in God course. Amazing, actually. But the first thing is to be childlike in your faith, not childish. In other words, God wants you to be, I don't know if I can say this right. I wide-eyed, open, with wonder, with excitement, with expectancy. Have you lost that? Believe me, sometimes you'll hear Mark say this. It's one of his go-to scriptures, but it's still very true and very powerful. God will do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask for or imagine.
That's right.
But it is true. And sometimes after you walk with the Lord for a bit, you can be like, yep, exceedingly abundantly, blah, blah, blah. My wonderful son Nehemiah, when he was, you know, now he's like, you know, big, older, you know, hey, Dad, we're going to work out, you know, let's work out. But when he was young, my young son Nehemiah, now he's a little more introverted, but Nehemiah was so intense, and he probably got it from his mom. And no. Anyway, whenever I would leave, you know, he'd be like, I'd go out the door, right? My little son Nehemiah, he'd go, wait, wait. You know, if I was heading out the door, you know, wait, wait. I want to give you three things before you go. Three things. And okay, son, a big hug. A big kiss. And I want to tell you I love you. And have a good day. Aw, and yes, that's four things if you guys are. But he's so cute. Who cared? You know what I mean? It was just. But my son, if I were to tell my son something at that age, he would believe me. He would believe me because, you know, I'm his dad. He knows his dad is a man of truth, and he trusts me, and he loves me, and he wants to hear from me. And now he's a teenager, and maybe not quite as much, but no, he's an awesome kid. But the point is to have that expectancy, you know, Dad, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to believe what you have to say. I trust what you have to say, even if it doesn't make sense. Do you know what I'm saying? If you'll start doing that, if you'll start just believing, well, his word says this. Well, I don't see how this is going to happen logically. I don't know how, you know, how is this going to work out? I don't know. We get all this convoluted. You know, how about just believe it and trust him? And you know what? I'm going to walk in faith. And I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm just going to do it. How about that? And when you do that, you get to see him work more and more. And then he's like, oh, you're listening. Let me give you a little bit more. And in fact, the Bible says this, and I'm not exaggerating here. You can't even get into heaven unless you have that childlike trust. Really? Pastor, that's a little much. It's still true. Listen, he says this, and this is in Matthew chapter 18, 2-4. He says, he called a little child among them and said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never even enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so I want you to notice in the passage that we read, the Lord is speaking to Eli. Eli is a child. And sometimes we can discount children. Samuel. Oh, Samuel. What did I say?
Eli.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking of, sorry. God is not speaking to whom? Eli. Eli is the high priest at the time. God was speaking to him for a long time, and he stopped listening. In fact, his sons, we gave him priestly positions, and they were bringing women in and doing all sorts of terrible stuff. They were causing people to stumble in the church all the time. And Eli just permitted it and let it go on and get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So if you stop listening to the Lord, guess what? Maybe he's not going to keep talking. Okay, we'll wait till you're ready to listen. Eli, on their hand, he's ready to listen. Here's what a lot of, well, I know a lot of scripture. You don't need to tell me about scripture. Yes, I do, because you're still drowning in your sin. You might know it here, but you're not walking in it, believing it relationally. You're not empowered. You're not having victory. That's where it's at. Listen, here's what you don't understand. You don't understand pornography addiction. You don't understand pot addiction. You don't understand alcohol addiction. You don't understand meth addiction. You don't understand the greed addiction. You don't understand gambling addiction. You don't understand. Everybody comes to me and tells, you don't understand. Nobody else understands how bad mine is. Nobody understands. Listen, here's, and this is ultimately what I have to usually say after I'm loving, and I may not, respectfully, you don't understand what kind of God you serve and the power that he has. Let me tell you, he is greater, stronger than any addiction you have in the name of Jesus. That's not a bunch of rah-rah. That's the truth. Listen, hear me, believe it. I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm not saying it's not hard. What I'm telling you is God will make you an overcomer. He will, in Jesus' name. But you have to humble yourself like a child. The second thing, if you want to hear God's voice better, is besides ministering before the Lord, besides being childlike in faith, minister before the Lord and not people. It says that Samuel ministered to or before the Lord in that passage. And I think to me that says, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you need to make sure that you're not doing what you're doing for other people. How do I say that right? If you go to the Bible study, if you're coming to a church, if you're doing your devotionals, don't do it because the pastor might ask you. Or even because you want to be a good example to your son or your daughter. Those things are good, right? There's nothing wrong. I want to be a good example to my kids, my congregations, right? That's nothing wrong with that. But the main reason that I do what I do is because I do it for Jesus. Listen, we have to have that at the forefront of our mind. If we don't, you know what? When that person doesn't respond the way we thought, I thought my husband, I thought my wife, I'm so disappointed, I'm going to quit. No, listen. They did this in Jesus' day. The Pharisees were all about a show, and they were doing things to be seen. And people think, oh, they're so spiritual. Who cares about this? Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. None. Listen, you have three audiences you can perform for. One is to please other people, two is to please yourself, and three is to please the Lord. Make sure, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord better, you're always doing it for his sake. Does that make sense? You can be a good example for your daughter, your husband, your wife, your friend, your coworker. That's great. But make sure the main reason you're doing it is to be right and you want to bless your heavenly Father. Does that make sense, guys? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. You're going to see God. Don't be a people pleaser. In fact, stop being a people pleaser. Galatians 1:10 in the New Living Translation says, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. There was a time when, I think it was Paul and Silas, right? I think if I'm remembering back. In Acts chapter 14, verse 18 and 19, when they came into a town, I'm trying to think if it was Paul and Barnabas or Paul and Silas. Maybe it was Barnabas. But they came into a town and they were like, wow, these guys are amazing. They healed somebody. They're like, oh, they're like gods. And they're practically worshiping them. They're wanting to sacrifice them. Paul's like, no, don't do that. Hey, we're just guys. We're just people. Right? Like you and me. We're just normal. We're just here to tell you about the living God. And the people who were wanting to worship them turned around and they wanted to stone them. That's in Acts chapter 14 if you want to read that for yourself. So people can be very fickle. So we want to make sure that we do what we do for the Lord. So God speaks. Be childlike in your faith. Minister before the Lord, not men. And number three is be responsive. Pastor Gary, how long have I been teaching?
42 minutes.
Very, 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 very quickly. Oh, boy. So the next thing is be responsive. If you notice that Samuel was responsive every time that he was called. Now, he might have been going to the wrong spot. He was going to Eli. Eli, hey, you called me. I'm here. Right? He says he ran to him, right? Didn't say he walked or meandered. He heard the call and he's running. That's how we need to be when God calls us. We always kind of, I don't know about, I'll take care of that next Tuesday. A week from now. A month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. We need to learn to be responsive now so that you could see God work now and then that will overflow into your life and other people's life now. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then he'll give you more. Be responsive. Let me go to the next one then just because of time's sake. The fourth thing is, be listening. If you want to hear God speak more, be listening. The Bible says, again, when you come here, don't come to hear Pastor Darren or any person. Come to hear the voice of the Lord through whoever is here, the donkey. There could be a donkey here. Some of you are thinking, there is a donkey there. But the point is, whoever is here, I want to hear from you, Lord. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man or woman who listens to me, watching daily at my doors. They're watching daily, right? At my doors, waiting at my doorway. They're getting up. They're early. They're ready. I've got them ready for devotions. Let me open up a psalm on my phone. Let me read through a book of the Bible. I want to know you. I want to hear from you. Now, this is usually used as an evangelistic burst. But really, it's not. But listen, Revelation 3 says this. I made this scripture up in the middle of the night, but it says, behold, I didn't make it the scripture up in the middle of the slide. Making sure I clarify that. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, what? Hears my voice and... right. So are you listening? Are you hearing his voice? Are you going to be responsive? I'm going to be listening. Then I'm going to open the door. It says, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. He goes on to say, and I'm sorry, I'm limiting. I know I saw hands going up here and there just because we have communion and I'm trying to be respectful today. Now I'm trying to get through this quickly. So God speaking. Here's, if you want to hear God speak more in your life, be childlike in your faith. Minister before the Lord, not men. Be responsive when he does speak. Be listening for him to speak. And number five is to be a servant and be humble. Be about your Father's business. Don't be about your business. Luke chapter 22:27 says, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But, he says, I, Jesus, am among you as one who serves. Jesus was serving. That was what his whole life was about, and that's what our life should be about. In fact, he says in John 12:26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So we need to humble ourselves and just be about serving him. If you're going to do that work, if you're going to serve him, then he's going to lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at due time. Number six, if you want to hear God speak more, Be compassionate, be loving. Without going into, I got so much more to say on each one of these, but again, I'm trying to hurry it up too. The whole fruit of a spirit-filled life starts with love. The fruit of the spirit is love, and then joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Love in everything that you do, right? That is a witness of God. In fact, it says in the Bible that God is love, right? So when you're showing that Christ-like, self-centered, sacrificial love, you're showing Christ to other people. In fact, it says in the Bible, I don't have a scripture picture here for it, but it says, that's how people are going to know you're my disciples, how you love others. Mm-hmm. Not even how much Bible you know. In fact, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, which I think would be pretty amazing, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So be compassionate and loving. Number 7, be faithful and obedient. Be faithful and obedient if you want to hear God speak to you more. The Bible says this in John 14:23. This will be one of your Experiencing God Bible verses, John 14:21 and John 14:23, that you'll learn. But it says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. See, if you'll obey him, it's like you're opening that door and you're saying, God, I want to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be at home in your heart. You're going to hear him more clearly. Whoever has my commands, another Experiencing God, and obeys them, that's the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will reveal myself to them. I'm going to skip you one more. And then the last one is, if you want to hear God speak to you more, it says, be a man or a woman of the word. You know, we end in this last passage in Samuel. It says, the Lord was with Samuel and he grew up and he let none of God's word fall to the ground. Not even one. It was so precious to him. And then it says, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And I'll leave you with these last two scripture pictures, and then I'll call up Dana, our friend from Bolivia, missionary, to do communion. But this is in Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. And he says, my word, they're not just idle words for you. Like when you're revving up your engines and you're in neutral and you're not going anywhere, that's being idle. He said, my words aren't idle words for you. It says, they're your life. Have you made God and God's word your life? Have you trusted him in that way? If you do, he'll do wonderful things. Read it, believe it, study it, apply it, live it. And then lastly, he says, and this is in Deuteronomy 30, like 19, 20, says, I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessings and curses. And I want you to choose life. So I want you to choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. You may listen and hold fast to him. God always wants you to learn to listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Hide it in your heart so that you won't sin against him. Does that make sense, everyone? Don't shut down. All right. Let's pray. Dana, can you come on up here? Thank you, brother. And thank you for being patient. And then we'll do a little communion. Let's pray and... give you the microphone. I think it's right there, brother. You just might have to turn it on. So, Father, I just want to say thank you for speaking to your people, Lord God. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that anyone who has ears to hear would hear what your Spirit has to say. I pray that I also saw the enemy working, and I pray in Jesus' name that anyone that the enemy was working on, Lord, that you would change their heart and change their mind and change their understanding, Lord, to believe and trust in you no matter what, Lord, to see the wonderful things you've done, Lord God. I pray for your blessing over each and every person here and each and every person that listens online later on during the week, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name, will you please help us to hear your voice, Lord, better and to obey what you give us, what you command, Lord, from a happy, joyful, loving heart, Lord. I pray you bless our communion time, and I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, sir.
Church.
It's good to be here with you. I made it to the Christmas party. Some of you I saw then, and then went up and saw my niece, who is here this morning, along with her mother, my sister. And she had already planned to come down here at this time. No, she came down just to see. No, just kidding. Boy, I look forward to this time here with you. Spent some time organizing some pictures and everything. And my infamiliarity with technology. I came and talked to George and found out we couldn't just download it from my phone to... to the thing. So no pictures today, but perhaps I can send something that you guys could play quickly and with some narration. But anyway, so in lieu of that, I'm going to just share some things with you that have been taking place since I left you. And can we go ahead and pray one more time? And Lord, thank you for your hand upon us. Thank you that you are here present with us, and that as it says in Revelation, you walk amongst the church and amid the church. And thank you for your presence here. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us as you did in the message we just heard, and that you'll be glorified. And thank you for what you'll do. In your name, amen. So, I've been in Santa Cruz now for 6 months, and coming back was just sort of a natural thing. I had to buy a round-trip ticket in order to get in the country and then apply for a visa. I got a 3-year visa, so then I could postpone my return trip, which would have been in 30 days, but because I got my visa, I was able to set the date for when I wanted to, and was able to come back right now and join y'all for the holidays, and so I'm very grateful for that. And really, it went too fast, to be honest with you. I'll be going back tomorrow. But anyway, the first 6 months has been largely orientation, getting a home, getting it set up. I have done some ministry. I've worked largely on my Spanish. When I first got back, I probably couldn't have given a message in Spanish, or it would have been a choppy one at best. And but now I'm connected to a local church, made a decision on that, and it is the same church that has the two Bible studies / groups in two neighborhoods just outside of Santa Cruz, which I will be working in weekly when I go back. discipling and just worshiping with these two groups and developing them into a church. The names of the two barrios are Horori and Tundi. So not that it means a lot to you, but those are the names of the two groups. So if you hear it in the future, you'll know what we're talking about. But anyway, when I learned considerable Spanish, I've had a couple of people, friends from Santa Cruz that have told me that my Spanish has improved immensely since I got back and over these last 6 months. And so the vacation was a perfect transition to what's ahead. I'll be meeting once a week with both groups, so that's two meetings a week. And then the church also has a school, and they've asked me to teach English at this school.
Sorry, nope. Forgot all about you.
Thank you.
I'll remember you from now on.
Okay. I'll be teaching English. This will be a challenge, so I request your prayer for this, because I've never taught in school before. I've spoken in assemblies and stuff like that, but I haven't. So this is new and a new challenge. So I ask your prayers for that as well. And continue, please, to pray that my Spanish, I'll be able to perfect that. I can do it in Spanish, but, you know, there's still challenges in that area as well. That's kind of the practical side of it, and maybe we can transition now from what I was doing down there and what I will be doing to our observance of the Lord's Supper. I want to read first a familiar passage. They're connected. Missions is connected to the Lord's Supper in a very concrete way. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's a powerful passage. It's the mission of the church. It's the commission that Christ gave to the entire church, and it involves all of us. It involves you here, sending me, but also taking the gospel and discipling people right here in this neighborhood, in this city, and in this state. We're all involved in this. And now, with respect to me, it's involving all the nations. I'm going to Bolivia, and there are countless other places in the world where Christ has sent people to take the gospel and to evangelize and to disciple and to form churches. And so that's what I'm involved in down there, but you guys are here too. And then the connection between us, you sending me out, and prayer. I can't tell you. I wish I had time to just list some of the answers to prayer, direct answers to prayer that I've seen. Praise the Lord. The Spanish was a big one, but there's other things. And sometimes God works, and you know, it's because people have been praying, but I wasn't involved, you know. I didn't even have time to pray. And can I give you just one example? And this is recent. This is new. I was 2 days from coming back to here, to Sarasota and Bradenton. And down in Santa Cruz, I get a text from my realtor. And he says, the fellow that had the year's lease, which I was so thankful for, because the house stayed empty for about 3 months, and he had a stroke. And so he was going to have to break the lease and go into a nursing home. And so, you know, the Lord taught me something in those months that it was empty, to trust him and trust him to provide and trust. And that he had it, you know, he's got it. And so anyway, I get that message, and I thought, well, couldn't have been more timely, because here I am to be able, I'll be right here to be able to deal with some things. And so I waited a couple days and then went into the home, spent the night there, and was getting the was getting the house ready to show, okay? And the realtor shows up, and behind him is a guy he wants to show the house. I said, what? You know, there's stuff all over the place. I'm cleaning, you know, and there were a few things left by the people that left the house. And, you know, I was about to tell him, you know, take him somewhere, you know. But I didn't. And he said, no, he can look past all this. And so he brings the guy in, young man, probably about 30 years old. And he walks through the house, chatted a little with me, talking to the realtor. And he says, I want it. I'll take it. And he moved in 2 or 3 days later. And I probably shouldn't say this. It was the season, you know, and so praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to read a familiar passage. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. And the Lord's death, his resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins and our justification, is the gospel. And we're actually seeing a demonstration of it as we do this. There's one other aspect to it. It's not just his body and his blood that was given for us, but also we eat it and we drink it. And the only way, this is a physical demonstration of a spiritual truth. The only way you benefit from food is to eat it. And the only way you benefit from Christ is to believe from the heart in him, in his death and resurrection. So let's keep that in mind as we do that this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you that you provided everything we need for salvation, for eternal life, for forgiveness, and to stand and walk justly before you, not in our own righteousness, in Jesus' righteousness. That has been given to us who believe. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we take your supper, which represents your suffering, the price that you paid for our salvation, help us to bear in mind that it gives us all we need for eternal life and for life in you. In Christ's name, amen. So let's just go ahead and eat the bread. The bread represents the body. the suffering that he did on our behalf. And the cup is the blood. And the blood was needed to confirm the pact that God has made with us to forgive our sins and give us life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Lord, it never ceases to amaze us that the God of heaven took a body on so that he could provide salvation for us. Lord, thank you for what you've done. In your name, amen.